Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had two posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. In the first post, we introduced a study where the authors found that completing a sports-specific movement control exercise program 3 times per week reduced musculoskeletal and concussion injuries in school-age rugby athletes. In the second post, we described a study where the authors reported that former collegiate athletes were less physically fit and healthy than adults who were physically active in college about 30 years after participation. If we take a closer look at the second post, we find that the authors compared physical health and functional performance of former NCAA Division I athletes to non-athletes 20 to 40 years after college. 200 participants, specifically 100 former athletes and 100 people who were physically active in college, were recruited for the study. They had an average age of 51 years and completed questionnaires and fitness assessments, including body fat, flexibility, muscular endurance and strength assessments, and cardiorespiratory endurance tests. Almost 80% of former athletes suffered an injury that resulted in lost participation time while playing. About half of the athletes reported being diagnosed with osteoarthritis, while only 10% of non-athletes reported being diagnosed. Overall, former athletes performed worse in all physical fitness testing. For example, they walked 2.4 minutes slower when trying to walk a mile compared with the non-athletes. Former athletes also had higher body fat percentages compared to the non-athletes. These authors found that former competitive collegiate athletes had worse physical health than non-athletes. While this is a limited sample, it does open our eyes to the fundamental need for more education focusing on the transition from collegiate athletes to the general population after a competitive career. What this really means is having education for our athletes about long-term wellness strategies. However, one cannot ignore the high prevalence of injuries in this sample. The question remains whether it is physical issues from their injury that is actually limiting their current physical activity, or if there are other psychosocial components that may contribute to their overall negative physical health. This highlights the importance of a new curriculum standard for athletic trainers that is being proposed by CADI, which states that we develop and implement wellness strategies to mitigate the risk for long-term health conditions across the lifespan. The document notes that this includes osteoarthritis, which in this study was more common among the former athletes. Based on these results, we need to be more proactive in mitigating the risk of poor long-term health outcomes. Interestingly, the former athlete cohort had a relatively large proportion of former football players. It would be interesting to see what the athletes' competitive weights were versus what they currently weigh. Football is one of those sports where larger individuals may be more successful at certain positions. It would also be helpful to see if the results of the study were different without football included, since the physically active cohort did not have the opportunity to compete in comparable collision sport. Finally, it would be interesting to see if the number of injuries, or whether they were acute or chronic injuries, influenced the current physical fitness level of these athletes. Regardless, as clinicians, we need to realize that our patients may go on to live relatively unhealthy lifestyles after they leave our care. For example, we had a previous post on Sports Med Res that indicated that most former college athletes fail to meet recommended exercise guidelines. As healthcare providers, early intervention, education, and preparation for these at-risk athletes should be an essential component of our clinical practice to ensure that they are prepared to live a healthy lifestyle after their athletic career. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This past week, our most popular post was a new study that concluded that despite all of the research to address ACL injuries among young females, the incidence of ACL reconstruction continued to increase from 2002 to 2014. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for an evidence-based practice CU, then please check out our 6 online courses available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these courses the posts, and the article I just mentioned on our podcast website. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. Next week, we'll be posting our podcast on Tuesday rather than Friday in order to highlight some of the upcoming events at the National Athletic Trainers Association's annual meeting. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.